You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, July 31st. At a meeting last week, Tillamook Air Museum Director Rita Welch and Port of Tillamook Bay General Manager Michelle Bradley asked county commissioners for $500,000 to fund engineering and feasibility studies for future repairs to Hangar B. The funding would potentially come from Tillamook County's transient lodging tax revenue. Welch said at the meeting that the studies would put the port and the museum in a better position to move forward with preserving the hangar and maximize its potential. Hangar B was built in 1942 as part of Naval Air Station Tillamook Bay. There were originally 17 similar hangars built up and down the West Coast, but only 5 remain, and Tillamook's Hangar B is now the only one open to the public. The Air Museum receives more than 50,000 visitors annually. Welch and Bradley said preservation options for the structure could include a sale to a private company or individual, community or grant-funded rehabilitation, or some combination of the two. Tillamook County Chief Administrative Officer Rachel Haggerty said that a prioritized list of all projects across the county requesting transient lodging tax dollars will be brought before the Board of County Commissioners sometime in August. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Read more online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Oregon has a new official in charge of the state's youth correctional system. Governor Tina Kotek announced on Wednesday that Michael Tussin would lead the embattled agency. Tussin will start as the director of the Oregon Youth Authority on August 18th. He must first be confirmed by the state senate. Tussin joins an agency that has faced numerous lawsuits in recent months from former youth involved in the juvenile justice system. They alleged staff sexually abusing them while they were in state custody. Kotek fired the longtime agency director this March as the state faced scrutiny for a backlog of mishandled abuse reports. Tussin comes with experience directing the parole board and working in youth behavioral health in Colorado. He will be paid $236,000 a year. Fighting climate change in Washington state could get more difficult if a Trump administration proposal becomes law. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
The White House aims to overturn what's known as the endangerment finding. It enables regulation of heat-trapping carbon dioxide from things like tailpipes and smokestacks. If it's overturned, fuel economy standards and requirements for clean power would go out the window. Regulators say Washington state's climate policies, like its cap on carbon pollution, wouldn't be directly affected, but clean tech, like electric vehicles, could become scarce. Washington Attorney General Nick Brown says he won't stand by as our children's future is sacrificed to fossil fuel interests. The head of the state Republican Party says he welcomes the relief from federal bureaucratic overreach. Representative Jim Walsh says the Trump proposal would help Washington state start to repair the harm from climate regulations he calls ridiculous, destructive, and divisive. I'm John Ryan reporting.
For many months, a group of Nacelle residents have been working to oppose a state plan to log a portion of the watershed that supplies their drinking water. Now, the Washington State Department of Natural Resources has agreed to postpone the Lane Creek timber sale by at least 2 years. Manager for the Department of Natural Resources Pacific Cascade Region, Scott Sargent, says the 2-year pause is to allow for more community input and conversation that Nacelle residents have been organizing. Nacelle resident Natasha Carter and other organizers had hoped to cancel the sale altogether. That process would entail finding either a federally recognized tribe or some public agency that would agree to take over the parcel, formally nominating it for transfer. Then the Washington Department of Natural Resources would have to confirm its eligibility. But experts say the Lane Creek watershed would most likely not be approved for any transfers because it is not, quote, economically underperforming, which is a key criterion for any nominated parcel. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Two things that most people need are parking and housing. As OPB's Eric Newman reports, reducing the number of parking spaces out there might help create more affordable places for people to live.
In a parking lot in downtown Vancouver's waterfront district, construction crews are getting ready to break ground on a 95-unit apartment complex.
This parking lot will eventually be completely replaced by three buildings and a smaller parking garage.
That's Chim Chun Ko with the City of Vancouver. He's excited for this project, which is known as West 6th Street.
It's a 95-unit, 50 to 60% AMI project.
Ko says this is the first development in Vancouver that will use a new parking rule. It does away with any minimum number of spaces required for affordable housing projects. The idea is that getting rid of this extra parking will translate to more affordable housing units being built.
In our current day and current market, construction costs are escalating at a huge rate. So anything we can do to reduce costs of delivering new housing is very impactful.
That's right. Parking codes, while not especially exciting, are a surprisingly important tool for dealing with the housing crisis.
Parking reform is a small policy that has a big impact.
That's Katie Gould. She's a senior transportation researcher with the Sightline Institute. Gould advised Washington lawmakers on a recent statewide parking requirements bill. The Vancouver City Council also passed their own ordinance in July to speed things up even faster. There are lots of challenges when it comes to building affordable housing right now. There's high interest rates and elevated construction costs and the threat of tariffs.
Parking reform is one of the tools that cities actually have control over, and they can give builders flexibility through that.
Changing parking rules is one way progressive policymakers are advocating for growth right now. But some Republicans see the changes as a threat.
I think where they're trying to go right now, and this is all this legislation, is they're trying to get rid of cars.
That's David Stebe. He's a Republican representative for Southwest Washington. He changed the Washington law so it doesn't apply everywhere. Small cities with less than 30,000 people are exempt. That includes all the other cities in Clark County besides Vancouver. Stebe worries that getting rid of minimum parking requirements will lead to congestion in cities like Washougal, where he's also the mayor.
We definitely have an affordable housing issue, but we've got to make sure that we do it the right way and that we're not hurting the businesses and the community.
But for people trying to solve the affordable housing shortage, the clock is ticking. On a recent day, Andy Silver is standing in the parking lot at the Highland Park Apartments. It's about three quarters full.
When you look at this lot, the parking takes up just as much, if not a little bit more, of the land than the building does.
Silver is the CEO of the Vancouver Housing Authority. This affordable housing complex is for seniors. Silver estimates that if it was designed under today's new parking rules, they could increase the number of affordable units by a third, from 56 to around 75.
This is just an example. If we were building this building today, we'd be able to put more apartments on it to serve very low-income seniors, which is a huge need in the area.
Regulations and construction costs have slowed housing production to a crawl, according to Silver. And he says there's one other big reason city residents should care about something as seemingly boring as parking rules.
If nothing new gets built over the next couple of years, we're going to be headed into another major rent spike.
With housing production in Vancouver as low as the 2008 Great Recession and homelessness on the rise, changing parking rules might be one small solution. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.